So I'm going to pick up kind of where we left off last week. We're in a section in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, first three verses. And in verse 3 it says that the day of the Lord has not come unless the apostasy has come first. And this is what we started with last week, the great apostasy. So last week we got up to this point where we were talking about the different millennial views. And so we covered those last week. So we'll just start where we left off last week, looking at the pre-tribulational scheme here. It's the rapture, followed by the wrath, which you call the tribulation, which is the return of Jesus Christ, which is then followed by his reign. What this slide points out is this pre-tribulational point of view holds to the doctrine of imminence. This, an event can happen at any moment. We don't know when it is. The pre-tribulational position also holds that the doctrine of Israel is distinct from the church. Israel is a nation. God made promises to this nation. He will fulfill those promises to the nation. Those are promises that are distinct from promises that he's made to the church. He has never promised the church land. He has never promised the church a capital in Jerusalem. The church is an international, universal body called the Bride of Christ. So the difference is Israel is a political, historical nation that God has promised to restore. The church is the bride of Christ that is called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's totally separate. Post-tribulationism looks like this on a graph. It denies, in fact, rejects the doctrine of imminence, which means post-tribulationists are looking for the Antichrist to rise to power. They're looking for a temple to be built in Jerusalem. All of these things must occur before they say the rapture can take place. Now, they don't deny that Jesus is going to come and establish the nation of Israel. Their order of events is first there's wrath, then there's rapture and return that actually occur at the same time. As Jesus is coming down in the air, all the saints are taken up, and then we all come down immediately and land on earth in glorified bodies. All believers, then, are in glorified bodies on the earth when he comes. Now, here's the question they can't answer. If all of the people who are believers get raptured here, then who goes in to populate the millennium? Unbelievers? The sheep go to judgment. Only the sheep, the righteous, go into the millennium. But if all of the believers for all time are raptured here, and because rapture means we're changed into imperishable bodies, that's 1 Corinthians 15, that's scripture. Who populates the millennium? They cannot answer that question. Now, they try to do it extra-biblically. What they say is, well, the unbelievers who survive, they're going to get a second chance to believe. And they will populate the millennium. Non-biblical explanation. Paul kept saying, you know, we're waiting for Jesus to return. We're looking for the hope of his coming. We're not looking for anything else. And in this scheme, you're looking for all these other things to take place. Now, who popularized the post-tribulational position? The Seventh-day Adventists. They popularized it. They really are pretty true to the teachings of the book of Revelation. They believe they will happen. They just believe that the Seventh-day Adventists are those Christians who are going to go through this tribulation period. And of course, they believe they're the true church. They're the only ones who keep to the scripture, who worship on Saturday. They're also date setters. All three of the post-tribulational religions, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and the Seventh-day Adventists, they're all date setters. They have all set dates, and that's when the tribulation will begin. As a pre-tribulational Christian, we are people who are called by God to be forgiving, to be faithful, to look for Jesus to return. We don't know when that's going to be. Jesus himself said, no one knows the day or the hour. Now, the post-tribulationists, the problem they have is, who populates the millennial kingdom? People in glorified bodies are not going to have children. We're not waiting for Jesus to come to earth. We're waiting for Jesus to come and take us from the earth. This is the hope, folks, and this is the hope that the church is really giving up on. The majority of churches have given up on that. They won't talk about the rapture. They won't talk about prophecy. But it's because they say it doesn't make sense to people. It's too hard to understand. We're hoping for Jesus Christ to come for us. We're looking for the glorification of our bodies because that is the totality of our salvation. That's our hope. All right, let's go from this one. Let's go to this one. This is probably the most popular belief in worldwide Christianity is amillennialism. This graph, we went over these last week, but this is a different way to look at it. This graph says that we're in the kingdom now, but we are not in the spiritual kingdom that was promised to Israel. So their doctrine is the church replaces Israel as kingdom on earth. So the church is now the political, historical kingdom that God had promised in the Old Testament, but they reword this saying when God talked about Israel back there, he wasn't talking about the nation Israel, he's talking about the church. So they see the word Israel in the Old Testament, and they say that means church. And so now the church is Israel. And it's a spiritual kingdom, it's not a physical kingdom. The kingdom is only in your heart. It's not a political entity. This is probably the most common position. Notice the order of events. It's reign, possibly wrath. This is Catholic theology, Lutheran theology, Methodist theology. They don't believe the book of Revelation is literal anyway. So this whole question is, well, is there a tribulation? Probably not. Jesus is just going to come, and then there's going to be a rapture. So it's reign, possibly wrath, return, and then rapture. This is the way the Catholic Church taught it through Augustine. This became the basic idea through all of the Middle Ages. This is the basic idea that survived after the Reformation. Lutheran churches, Presbyterian churches all hold this position. This is what you're going to see mostly in hymn writing, in other books and writings. You're going to see this position. We're in the kingdom now. Last one, I think this is the most odious of all of them, is this one, postmillennialism. Postmillennialism says that the world government, the entire world, will be Christian for 1,000 years. We don't know when that'll begin, but it has certain signs that it has begun. So you look for those signs. Therefore, if you're looking for those signs, what's that say? You deny immanence. Because you're not looking for Jesus, you're looking for signs. Massive revival. And the whole world will turn to Jesus Christ. And the world will form a Christian government that will then rule the world for 1,000 years. And then Jesus will come. Will there be a period of wrath first? Some say there will be, some say there won't. But the point is, there's going to be a reign of 1,000 years first. Then Jesus is going to return. Then there's going to be a rapture. And there's no Israel. It's all focused on the church. Now, this one is popular in the 1800s. Because when the pilgrims came over here, they said, this must be God's promised land. They were amillennial. They became postmillennial because they said, America is the place where God is going to manifest his glory, and it's from here that the world is going to become Christian. Well, by end of World War I, World War II, they pretty much had overthrown this idea. But it's coming back. It's coming back in the form of what's called a restoration theology. They're looking for a massive revival. The only thing I can relate this to is like the Muslims look for worldwide domination through Sharia law. This is the same thing, but instead of Sharia law, it would be Mosaic law. So it would be the law of Moses and the worship of Jesus Christ combined together to form this worldwide Christian religion, a worldwide Christian government. What is going to bring true peace to the world? Jesus. Who is going to bring true peace to the world? Jesus will bring true peace when he comes to reign. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen through the actions of sinful men. So anyway, that's the four perspectives. Premillennialism, with the rapture before the tribulation, and with the rapture after the tribulation. That's probably the main evangelical, two main evangelical positions. Amillennialism, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian. Then the postmillennialism, rule over nations through the Mosaic law. The nation of Israel got it from God, and he was their king, and they didn't do well with it. Why would we think? It's the arrogance of man who thinks that we could bring the Mosaic law and impose it on others and bring about this golden age. This, to me, is the most terrifying of the four. Okay, so let's go back to this one. Let's go back to the true one, rapture, wrath, return, reign. I call this seeing clearly with both eyes, imminence in Israel. Those two things are true, that Israel is a distinct promised nation. God has promised to restore this people after a period of diaspora, of scattering into all the world. He's promised to bring them back and establish them in a kingdom under Jesus Christ. Literally true. 2 Thessalonians 2:2-1. We request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him. And he's talking about what he told them back in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, are gathering together to him in the air. Don't be shaken if you hear something like a letter from us, because it can't be from us, that the day of the Lord has come, because it hasn't come. We're not in the day of the Lord. Because, he goes into verse 3. He says, because, let no one deceive you. It will not come, or it has not come, unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Those two things have to take place. Now, I'm going to stop with this. I'm just going to introduce it again. Back to the apostasy. It is the apostasy. The apostasy is a particular thing or event. And this particular apostasy begins the day of the Lord. How do I know the day of the Lord hasn't come? Because, number one, the apostasy hasn't happened yet. And number two, there's been no revelation or uncovering or revealing of the man of sin. So we'll end there. We'll pick it up from there next week. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we've had. We pray that you help us.